Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Big Ticket, Variety, and iHeart's weekly podcast. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Today, I've got Ellen Page, the very talented actress and producer, is now a director. We connected earlier this week from her home in Los Angeles to talk about her directorial debut, There's Something in the Water, a Netflix documentary about environmental racism and its impact on marginalized communities in Page's native Canada. Coming up in the show, Page explains the inspiration behind the doc, how she feels about Justin Trudeau and Donald Trump, and what it's like creating music and dance videos for Instagram with her wife of 2 years, dancer Emma Porter. I'll be right back with Ellen Page. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. Here's Ellen Page. Hey, Ellen.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Pretty good, yeah. I mean, you know.
Considering, I know.
Yeah.
How are you holding up in all of this? What are you doing? Are you just, I know you're doing some great videos with your wife.
You know, we're good, you know. I mean, we're, of course, staying inside, unless, you know, it's dog walk. We're good. And, you know, mostly I'm obviously thinking about all of those who, you know, are out of jobs and
it's awful
paycheck, and those who don't have the ability to stay at home, and et cetera. I think, yeah. So we're doing good.
Good. So Ellen Page, welcome to The Big Ticket. Thank you for joining us here. So let's talk about There's Something in the Water. Tell me where this came from. It's your directorial debut, and it's a quite powerful documentary. Tell us all about it.
Well, thank you so much. And also just, I really appreciate you wanting to talk about it, because this is sort of actually quite mind-blowing that this is happening. Ian and I did not bring up cameras intending to make a feature film. And really how all this began is I read Ingrid Waldron's incredible and quite frankly groundbreaking book, There's Something in the Water. And it just taught me so much. I was just devastated to read this and just so shocked how silent these communities and this issue have been in Nova Scotia. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, all around Canada in many ways. But in Nova Scotia, I think, to just such a significant degree in terms of it being such a systemic issue there. So essentially, I reached out to Ingrid Waldron saying, you know, I was so moved and learned so much from your book. If there's anything I could possibly do to help elevate your voice and these issues, you know, please let me know. And then that turned into getting on the phone with the grassroots grandmothers, as you see in the film.
Which is the best name. I just love grassroots grandmothers.
Yeah, and they're extraordinary. And as people will see in the film, resisting a station called AltaGas, doing a project called AltaGas. And essentially, again, they were, you know, we talked about how, what could happen, how we could elevate their voice. And we decided that, you know, together coming up with cameras, and we would at the time just thought, we were going to, you know, make clips for Instagram or little pieces. And then when we were heading up, I thought, well, I think it would be good to have multiple examples in Nova Scotia to show how systemic this issue is. And so this can't be sort of dismissed in any way. And Ian and I rented 2 5Ds and had 2 lav mics headed up and met these just extraordinary women who do this work that they shouldn't have to do. And then, you know, when we got back to Halifax after going around the province, and we're watching footage with Ingrid. We just really had this feeling of, oh my God, I like, do we have a feature documentary here? And then essentially we just hit the ground running because we wanted to get it out as soon as possible, just because the urgency of these issues. And then, of course, Ingrid became a producer on the film, and yes, that's how it all came to be.
So, explain to people what environmental racism is.
Environmental racism is essentially the disproportionate placement of landfills, hazardous industry, et cetera, put next to Indigenous and Black and other marginalized communities. And it's also about, you know, the slow response of the government. And this is an incredibly systemic industry, Canada, the United States, and all around the world.
I was going to say, if people don't realize you are from Canada, so this was sort of a, you know, the film's sort of a homecoming in a certain way.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think that's something a lot of, you know, people have said. I mean, even being home and since I've been home in Halifax since the film premiered at Toronto Film Festival and then the Atlantic Film Festival in Halifax, just something I get a lot is people coming up to me and saying, I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea. And Nova Scotia is obviously quite a small province.
Mm.
So the degree of silencing of these communities, the lack of coverage from the media, I mean, a lot of great alternative media sources do great work, but, and I think, yeah, in so many ways, Canada is just in such profound denial of its history and its, you know, the colonialism that's continued today, clearly, as well as its history of genocide and residential schools and what have you. Yeah, so I do think that's a big part of the film as well.
I'm going to take a short break right now, but when we come back, Paige weighs in on Justin Trudeau's environmental record and Donald Trump's comments about climate change. Stick around. I'll be right back. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. Here's more of Ellen Page. We do see Justin Trudeau in the movie a little bit, you know, a tiny bit. How do you think he's doing with environmental issues in Canada?
He's not doing a very good job, particularly in regards to environmental issues that affect Indigenous people, and very much supporting, you know, corporations that are invading the lands of Indigenous people, very much encouraging, you know, disastrous pipelines. I'm not addressing the issues of the tar sands in Alberta, and despite declaring a climate emergency, continues to support these corporations. And that's incredibly unfortunate. And I most certainly hope that changes.
Did you ever think you'd become this expert in environmental issues? I mean, the way you're talking, I'm like, I want to call you Professor Page.
Well, I certainly don't by any means feel like an expert. Of course, the experts are the people particularly who have experienced this and the communities that have had to deal with this for, you know, generations and generations and generations and generations, et cetera. And of course, Ingrid Waldron, who is a professor at Dalhousie University in Halifax. But no, I most certainly didn't, you know. And when I was learning more about these issues in my home province and the suffering it has caused and the decimation of the environment and obviously this current important issue in regards to Alton Gas and the Shubenacadie River, you know, of course, I, as someone from Nova Scotia who has the privilege and platform I have, wanted to learn more, you know, of course. Like that's the first step. We need to We need to teach ourselves. We need to take accountability for complacency. And it's our responsibility to educate ourselves, as it was my responsibility to do. So, no, I didn't expect this. Obviously, I didn't, you know, we didn't even think we were going to make a feature documentary. We just were going to do what we could. But the experts, most certainly Ingrid and others, not me.
Are you hopeful things will change, or do you get disheartened when, or does it sort of come and go, and, you know, at different points you're hopeful and at other points you're not?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that it is a combo of the two. It can be so disheartening to see the lack of response from government, particularly when you are spending time in communities that have lost so much, so many people.
When you're going through the one area where there's the dump and she's just pointing out each house, how many people died of cancer. It's astonishing, but also believable in many ways, unfortunately.
Yeah, and this is the issue in so many places, and in more places in Nova Scotia. And the lack of response, the lack of support, the lack of hearing these individuals' voices is just so appalling. It's appalling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, so many people have died, you know, and, you know, we're at Pictou Landing First Nation with the situation with Oak Harbor. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
People dying so young, people not getting to grow old with their families. And how is this not something we're talking about out all the time? How are people not being held accountable? But there is hope, right? There has been change. And those who are, you know, taking this head on and resisting and obviously make you feel hopeful, but then that feels a horrible feeling because they shouldn't have to do this.
Right.
It's just like so horrible that these communities are in this situation. The fact that the grassroots grandmothers are getting arrested when this corporation wants to, you know, it seems like a lot to explain on the podcast, like,
right, of course,
what this court, you know, but ultimately wants to dump a significant amount of brine into the Shubenacadie River that, yeah, would destroy it. It's just that simple. And for the government at all to be on the side of this corporation instead of doing everything they can to protect this river and this land that is, you know, they're breaking treaty rights, which is right. Something that's, you know, happening all over Canada. And yeah, the fact that, you know, the government clearly is supporting these corporations over people's health and lives, and particularly Indigenous Black communities, it's especially in a time where we're dealing with climate crisis, it's so hard to wrap your head around. I mean, it's not in the context of history
right.
and everything that's happened, but you know what I mean.
But are you able to sit there and, you know, you're watching the news and President Trump gets on the TV and, you know, basically calls climate change a hoax, fake news? Do you want to just throw something at your television, or if you're watching it on your phone, how do you, you're so passionate about it, how do you not lose yourself in sort of what many people would say, you know, policies that are going completely backwards?
Yeah, I mean, I think needless to say, it's not a hoax. And so when you see that, especially people with such power and influence perpetuating or saying anything like that, it's devastating because it's destroying the world. It's destroying the future. and it's happening right now. And again, it's disproportionately affecting marginalized people, you know, right. in United States, Canada, and in so many places in the world. And it's mind blowing to me that those with power and influence and significant wealth wouldn't want to do everything they could to stop this.
Would you ever want to do a screening at the White House of the film?
I don't think that's a place I would be invited. No, I mean, I don't know how to answer a question like that.
It's a big hypothetical. So has this inspired you more documentaries directing? What's the next subject you want to tackle?
Oh, goodness. I'm not sure yet. You know, I think this was just sort of, as I said, you know, the sort of organic experience, and that just, you know, sort of started, and then we were just like on this path, you know?
Right.
And, you know, I think we finished basically and delivered the film like 2 days before the premiere at the Toronto Film Festival.
Oh, wow.
And then after that, worked on it a tiny bit, and then had the process of delivering it, you know, to Netflix and just all these things. So I think, you know, potentially now, and, you know, reading more, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, perhaps something will come. But yes, in terms of directing, I really gravitate to nonfiction, like in general, mm-hmm. that's what I read. And so I think that's, I do have such an interest in that space more in a direction way. Versus, of course, my job as an actor, which I'm grateful to do and love in the space of fiction.
And Umbrella Academy, when are we seeing season 2?
I'm not allowed to say.
I always have to ask. But as we saw at the end of season 1, the world is coming to an end. How do we encourage people, or... what's the word I'm looking for? Like, you know, hey, let's go watch something about the world coming to an end when real world is so frightening and seems like at times the world is coming to an end. Is there escapism still in that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's fascinating in so many ways because there have been so many films, I feel like, especially like lately, that or work or what have you, that have been focused on, you know, the apocalypse. And I don't know if, you know, you think of the climate crisis, for example, right. And that is, again, that's something that's already happening. And yeah. if massive, significant changes aren't made, these, you know, it's like, that's that.
Right.
And as we're already seeing the significant impact. So I think it seems like in many ways, I don't know if that's because it's on the, you know, people's mind right now, consciously or not, actually people have been gravitating to those stories.
Right.
As you hear so many people now watching films and all the films about like pandemic. So I'm not sure what that is about humanity, but
And when will we see the next music video, dance, you on guitar video on your Instagram of you and your wife? When should we expect the next one?
I'm not sure. I have to, I guess, figure out what the next cover is going to be. And but it is nice to get to be creative with Emma because she's so astoundingly talented, and her mind is so extraordinary.
Her dancing and how her body moves is just unbelievable.
It's actually unbelievable. She completely blows my mind. So I'm always lucky to be able to create with her in any way. So, yeah, we'll probably do another scene.
Good. Well, Ellen Page, thank you. Stay safe.
Back
and,
at you.
You know, congratulations on the doc. It's really, it's very powerful. It's something I didn't know about. So really it opened my eyes, and I think it's going to open up a lot of other eyes, and, you know, just keep doing these docs. It was great.
Well, thank you for saying that. And again, thank you so much for wanting to talk about it.
You got it. Stay safe.
You too.
Bye-bye. That was Ellen Page. Her documentary, There's Something in the Water, premieres on Netflix on March 27th. Thanks for listening to The Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Coming up next week, Little Fires Everywhere star Joshua Jackson talks about working with Reese Witherspoon, Kerry Washington, 3-2. Coming up next week, Little Fires Everywhere star Joshua Jackson talks about working with Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington and so much more. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Mark Malkin. And for all your daily Hollywood news, head over to Variety.com. Stay safe. I hope you're well, and I'll see you next time.